Welcome back to another episode of the PBL Playbook. To wrap up 2019, we spent today talking about reflection and the role of reflection in PBL. We got the chance to sit down with William Likens, who's a senior student at CSA New Tech, and he talked to us about how he sees reflection in PBL and kind of his journey through high school and the role that reflection has played.
It's really hard to believe that we're already at 2020, but I'm really excited that our last episode for this year is about reflection. And so the question that we're trying to answer in this episode is, what is the value of reflection in education, and how do you reflect through PBL? So this episode, we're going to interview Will, and we're going to talk a little bit about reflection, and we'll wrap the episode up with some thoughts on reflection and how we do that as facilitators. So enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the PBL Playbook, brought to you by Magnify Learning, where we equip teachers with project-based learning tools today so they can engage and empower their students for the future. This podcast will give you the playbook of real PBL facilitators in the classroom, just like you, and help bring you strategies and tools for your PBL game. Now, here are your PBL Playbook hosts, Josh and Andrea.
Gotta find a better way.
We're here with William Likens, who's a senior student at CSA New Tech, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about his journey through PBL and reflection and the role that that plays. So, William, can you introduce yourself and talk about your PBL journey a little bit for our listeners?
So I'm William Likens, and I'm a senior at CSA New Tech. I started PBL as a freshman here at CSA, and I didn't join it through middle school or grade school. And so coming into it was a little different, coming from a really strict, more content-based schooling system, and it was a hard transition in the beginning. But very quickly, I saw the values of PBL and saw like what it could do to help me better understand the concepts, because before, it was just learning things, and now it was being able to apply that in the projects.
Awesome. So this whole episode is really going to be about reflection. And, we're going to just have a conversation about the value of reflection and how it fits into PBL, and maybe even talk about some of the practices that we see. So I think the question that makes the most sense for us to talk about is, what's the value in reflection, and why is it an important part of the PBL process?
I think the value of reflection as a student is really crucial, because after projects, the key to projects is that real world application. And some students don't always clearly get that, because they're just maybe skimming through, just barely getting the project done, and they don't always realize that potential. But when you reflect, you're able to get that student to connect the project to maybe the concepts that they learned, and also learn through collaboration about how the project went between the group members.
It's so interesting that you bring that up, like the idea that sometimes kids don't always recognize what they're learning, and that was something that I think is always a test of a project, right? Like, that engagement piece is there, and sometimes kids are engaged by the project but don't always make the connection to how much they've learned. And so I think you're right, having the ability at the end of a project to kind of facilitate that reflection piece, so that they can not only understand, like, okay, here's the content I learned, but here's how I grew as a person. Here's how I got better as a collaborator, or as a writer, or as a oral communicator. And then ultimately, here's what I need to do next, right?
So in that way, kind of going off of what Josh was saying, how has reflection really impacted your journey? You talked about coming in as a freshman, being unfamiliar with PBL. So how have you seen yourself grow, and how has that impacted you?
I think one of the challenges early on with reflection for me was connecting what the concepts were to real-world application. Like, for example, in geometry freshman year, we did the mirror project, and I couldn't really connect that to what we were doing, like real-world concepts. And then we wrote like a little paper on connecting it to real-world applications, and that really made a big impact on me, because I saw what I was learning for the first time and how it came into real-world technologies that were cutting edge.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from the facilitator standpoint too, like that reflection piece is really important because it's another informal assessment of, okay, are my students doing what I need them to be doing? Are they getting out of it what we hope they get out of it? But also on a more practical level, like having students reflect gives you immediate feedback that can be used for your next project, or if you end up doing that project again the next year, it kind of comes back and say, oh yeah, remember how none of the kids knew what they were doing with this part of the project? Maybe I should spend more time planning it this time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going through that with my freshman right now. We, you know, had a benchmark in this project that just didn't work for a lot of kids. And, you know, we're taking that and using that to not only shape the project for next year if we're going to do it again, but also like next semester. Like, this is not, you know, that's not a type of activity that these kids respond to. And so trying to come up with something maybe a little bit more meaningful for them. So we just got done with an episode with Mrs. Antcliffe, who talked about the senior project, which you are one semester into. So how does reflection play a role in that project for you?
I mean, I don't know if I can truly reflect till it's over. I mean, I'm only halfway through, and as the bulk of my project happens over spring break, I still haven't completed all the stats. But so far, I've been reflecting on the processes and about how all of our little benchmarks and how we've missed a few or we've done really well in some. And I think reflecting on each individual step allows me to step forward to the next benchmark and see how I can better meet that next benchmark when the real work starts picking up in my project.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned a project from freshman year, and then, you know, we're talking about senior project. How would you say, like, if you were to look back at your reflections from freshman year and then look at your reflections from now, like, what changed? Do you think you've changed at all in how you reflect, or?
I almost think I reflected more in-depthly, like, as a freshman, because it was all new to me, and that reflection was really important to me, being, like, able to understand the project-based learning, because it was all brand new to me and we barely did any projects where I last was. And that reflection was a great tool. But now that I've adapted as a senior to the projects, the reflection is less about the aspects of project-based learning and more about collaboration and working together as a team. And so I think it's molded about what best suits my needs.
So thinking from, you know, a lot of our listeners are facilitators or administrators, what strategies can you offer them to help keep their reflections meaningful for their students in PBL? What has worked for you?
I mean, sometimes the reflections work well if they're just a series of questions that are prompts that have the students a little, like, write on. I think another tool for reflection is we do an essay about the project after it's already completed. And sometimes that essay, along with research, will help connect it to what it's trying to teach and not just the content.
One of my favorite things that I did as a facilitator was just a simple kind of plus delta list at the end. And so I always did it, you know, so pluses were the things that the students liked about the project, and deltas would be things that they would change. And I always kind of pushed them to be really honest and transparent, because if I do use that project in the future, I want to make it the best project ever. But also because a lot of the feedback I got from that list, one, gave me a feel for how I did in the project. Like, I knew that if I got some people saying I had, you know, just the right amount of time, and some people saying I gave too much time, and other people saying I didn't give enough time, that I probably had the right timing for my project because it was a mix in there. But if everyone was saying I didn't give enough time or I gave too much time, that was useful information. But the other thing that it was really useful for was, you know, usually when I got done with a project, I was already ready to launch another project. And so if kids said, like, we needed more clear benchmarks, or we needed more time with our group contracts, or, you know, everything was great except my group didn't participate equally, I knew that in that next project I could immediately address that and get information and feedback that not only made the project better, but it also helped kids understand that I'm valuing the reflections that they give and the feedback that they're giving. And I think sometimes students need to know that they're not just saying that stuff, but that it's going to go into practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it was valuable as a student also hearing other people's. Like, I remember doing the plus and deltas, and, like, I would remember, like, going through a project and just barely hitting each benchmark, and then being at the end and hearing someone's delta saying there's too much time, like, that'd be a real wake-up call that, like, I need to step up my game. So not only was I was reflecting on the future, but I was reflecting on, like, my effort and how well I did in the project, not necessarily how good the project was itself.
Awesome. And that goes into, I mean, we've had several conversations on this podcast about, you know, assessing different skills. Like we've talked about agency and effort and some of those more like quote unquote employability skills versus just, you know, mastering content. So I think that's a really, really good point.
I'd be curious, you know, to think about if you look forward, you know, next year, you're going to college and you're getting ready to be an adult. Like, how do you see reflection playing a role in your future?
I think reflection is going to be a big deal. I mean, I'm not exactly sure because it's all going to be so new to me. I think going off to college, I don't exactly know what to expect, but I think reflecting on my whole high school career as a whole, it will be beneficial because, like, a lot of teachers always say, like, if you're behind on this, that's a skill you need to work on for college. And so I think learning and reflecting on all your mistakes and all of your things that you did right over high school is a good way to start college prepared, even though I really don't know what to expect.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, too. Like, you might not have all of the content knowledge as maybe, you know, other kids in college, but you at least have the skills to be able to reflect and some of that critical thinking and problem solving to get yourself to a point where you need to be and just some of that self-awareness.
Yeah. When we talk about agency as like a 21st century leadership skill or employability skill, agency, I think really, you know, when we talk about agency, being a reflective person, you know, and developing skills to reflect naturally is going to help you take control of your own learning, whether that's learning for a job or learning for college or learning for school or whatever, or just learning life lessons. Like the act of being able to process, okay, this is just what happened. It either went really well or it didn't go as well as I wanted. What are my next steps and how am I going to move forward? I think building that habit is really important for kids because, you know, I mean, even when I was in my teacher preparation program, one of the standards was, you know, you're supposed to be a reflective practitioner. And it's big fancy words for saying, like, you need to take what you're doing every day, think about how it went and make adjustments and make adjustments so that your teaching is better the next period or the next day. And it's definitely something that I think students can use and need help developing. You can't just go and say, hey, reflect on this. You've got to give them the scaffolding and support and tools to be able to do that.
So, William, before we part ways, are there any final thoughts you want to leave with our listeners about their PBL journey or reflection or anything like that?
I just think that it's important to underline how important reflection is in the PBL process, is that how it helps you understand the different needs of how a student develops throughout high school. Like, my needs were very different freshman year than what they are now, and reflecting not only demonstrates the student needs, but also how the project interacts with the students.
Absolutely. That's some great advice. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, what a great conversation. I really am glad that we were able to spend some time with Will and talking about his PBL journey and how he's used reflection to grow as a student and as a person. So when we think about reflection in PBL, Andrea, what are some of the strategies that you found really successful in helping your students reflect on their learning throughout your courses?
I think one of the things that Will brought up that, you know, he made a really good point is just asking specific questions. I think especially, you know, starting with, you know, for me, freshmen or for our listeners, like students who aren't necessarily as experienced in PBL, very intentional questions. Like, what do we, you know, what were we looking for them to gain, and kind of asking specific questions about that. With our freshmen, we have them do a written reflection at the end of every project where they're asking, you know, we're asking, how did you grow? What strategies did you use to be successful? What challenges did you face? How did you overcome them? We also, like Will said, making the connection to the content. So there are very specific questions about how does this project pertain to, you know, whatever that history content is for the project. And then again, we kind of talked about the plus delta list, which as a facilitator is really helpful because, you know, if it's a project we plan on repeating, we can go and look and say, hey, this didn't work. you know, this benchmark was way too long and they didn't see the purpose or whatever that might be. So I think Will brought up a lot of really good strategies that are some that I try to implement in my projects. Do you have any other ones that you've used that you've found successful?
Yeah, I think the main thing is you've got to scaffold reflection just like you scaffold anything. You know, you can't just ask students to reflect. You've got to talk about what a good reflection looks like. You've got to give them feedback on reflection. I think it's valuable sometimes to have a rubric even for reflection specific to what you want to see in a reflection. And that's worked well for me. I think for me, though, the main takeaway is reflection can't be an afterthought. It's got to be part of every aspect of a project. It can't just be the thing you do at the end. You've got to reflect throughout. You know, even if it's not a formal reflection, being able to stop and say, hey, those presentations didn't go well, or this thing didn't go the way it needed to. Let's talk about that. Or, hey, that went really well. Let's talk about why that went really well. And being overly transparent about the things that you see that led to success or led to failure, and helping students use that to go forward in the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think several times this season and throughout the whole podcast, we've talked about the ability to fail and how sometimes that is hard for us. But I think reflection and having students be part of that process lets them see us sometimes failing. You know, sometimes a project doesn't go the way we want it to, or a benchmark or an activity even. And letting students have voice in that and be able to tell you, like, hey, this doesn't work. But then see, you know, letting them see you experience failure and then grow from it and make those changes. And so kind of modeling by example the behaviors we want them kind of adopting.
Yeah, so if you're out there and you're trying to think about how to do reflection in your classroom, I think you start with some small questions that you think are going to be really direct and help students kind of understand what you want, and then work towards a more gradual release of that structure so that students can just kind of learn to reflect on their own and use it in the way that they want to. But I would suggest that early on, be very clear about what you want, write questions, and identify exactly the types of things you want to reflect on, and then give students feedback on their actual reflection. You know, always encourage it, but allow them to dig deeper, ask them to clarify something a little bit further. You know, I don't think you want to discourage anyone from the reflection, so don't give them really critical or negative feedback, but give them that feedback that says, hey, I think you can talk about this a little bit more. And I think doing that is really important. So as we close out this episode, I think it's only appropriate to talk about maybe our reflections of this year and maybe identify a New Year's goal. So do you've got a New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I think on the topic of reflection, just like you said, being more intentional about reflecting every single step. I think one thing that I've been really intentional about is reflecting at the end of a project and, you know, at the end of the whole and using feedback for that, but maybe not as much within benchmarks or throughout activities. So I think going into 2020, my focus is going to be being super intentional about reflecting throughout the entire PBL process.
Awesome. I think for me, I really want to focus on communication and really think about assessment. Assessment has always been something that I've struggled with, and I've spent a lot of time researching it. And I want to be better at kind of bringing that to more teachers and being able to explore assessment practices in a way that's meaningful. But on a personal note, I want to learn Spanish. So I'm hoping that I can actually commit to doing that and be able to be a little bit more fluent in Spanish so that I can use that in my communication skills.
Awesome. Listeners, if you guys have a New Year's resolution that you want us to know about, tag us on Twitter at Magnify Learning. Have a great 2020.
And just a reminder that if you like the music you're hearing on our podcast, you can get that from Attaboy. There's a link to their music in our show notes. Have a great New Year.
Ready, break.
Thanks again for joining Josh and Andrea for the PBL Playbook, where we give you the playbook of real PBL facilitators in the classroom just like you and help bring you strategies and tools for your PBL game. If you want to reach the pod, you can tweet at AskGIEBS, at MissB103, and at Magnify Learning, or you can email the PBL Playbook at magnifylearningn.org with any questions, thoughts, or ideas you have. Also, be sure to show Josh and Andrea some PBL love by rating, reviewing, and sharing the PBL Playbook with other educators. Gotta find a better way.